Hello, I'm Elena Del Val, and this is the HispanicNPR.com podcast. My guest today is Maria Rodriguez, who is owner of Vanguard Communications. We will discuss paid internships. Maria, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Let's start with a conflict of interest statement.
Okay.
Are you speaking solely for yourself and your firm? Is there anyone else that you represent for purposes of today's discussion? Are you receiving in-kind or any other compensation for our discussion?
I am speaking completely for myself and my firm, and I am not being compensated by anyone else.
Great. Thank you. What are we referring to when we say an internship?
We are referring to a work experience for students, and in my case, students that are still in college, so that they can basically increase their exposure to the workplace and to the kinds of careers that are out there, opportunities for them.
And there are paid internships and unpaid internships. Tell us a little bit about how those come about and how they're similar and different.
That is correct. There are both. And in fact, you know, certainly when I was in college, which is a long time ago, most internships were unpaid. The idea was that you were securing some support, some staff support at your organization, whether you were a for-profit company or a nonprofit or on Capitol Hill, for example. And these were students, and potentially they were unskilled, at least in the areas of the internship program. And so they were unpaid. The idea was that they were getting that experience and that that was essentially compensation enough. And then over time, certainly corporations who had resources started to see the value in paying for those students. You certainly get a lot more buy-in and commitment in doing that. But it's still been challenging for nonprofit organizations to do that. A lot of them don't feel like they have the resources to do that, and so it's hard for students to get exposure to those kinds of environments, to like that nonprofit advocacy, I want to change the world environment, because unless they can afford to work for free.
The paid internships that we're discussing today are the result of your efforts at your company and a third party that's facilitating paid internships. So why don't I let you explain how that came about and what it is?
Sure. I'm happy to do that. Well, basically, my company is a public relations communications firm that focuses completely and solely on the promotion of social issues. So we only work with nonprofits and government agencies. And when we were turning 30 years old, I wanted to do something that would make a difference, that would make an impact, not just like have a party because we were 30 years old. And with the staff, we brainstormed, you know, what could we do that might make an impact? And I was just thrilled that through that brainstorming opportunity, we came up with the notion of how about if we partner with an organization? We decided on my alma mater. I went to George Washington University in Washington, D.C., and they have an institute that supports Latino students on campus, and it's called the Cisneros Hispanic Leadership Institute. And we thought, well, what if we partner with them to provide paid internships that we would pay for? We would fund the internships and place the interns in nonprofit organizations around the Washington area. And these are a combination of local community-based nonprofits that are serving the community, as well as national nonprofit organizations like the American Civil Liberties Union, for example. And that's really how the program got started. We were celebrating our birthday, if you will, and we wanted to give back. I was concerned that I didn't see a lot of diversity in the PR field, and I thought this was just a small way that I could try to make a difference, and doing it basically in a similar way to how I discovered public relations, because that's really how I ended up coming into even understanding and learning about this career opportunity, was through a non-paid internship.
How easy was it to get the university to partner with you?
It was really easy because I'm funding it. So it's really a win-win for them. They have a program where they're supporting first-generation students in at GW. And then I was coming to the table with some funding to help place them in these summer internship programs at nonprofits. And what was terrific was that they were willing to manage the process, if you will, the identification of the students, the matching of the students with the nonprofits that we identified. Some of the nonprofits we've identified are organizations that we've worked with in the past or even are currently working with. And then it was a summer program. So the funding goes toward paying the intern a stipend for doing the internship, but also for covering their housing in the summer, because a lot of these students don't have the privilege of being able to stay in Washington, D.C. for the summer and pay, you know, a very high rent to do so. So that was part of the package. In addition, we thought we wanted to be able to support the students a little bit more. I don't know if you remember back when you might have first had your first, you know, office environment position. It's a little overwhelming. You know, you don't really know how to operate possibly in that environment. So we match up each student with a mentor at Vanguard that can, you know, just be there when they have the question, you know, the silly question that they don't want to ask their boss about. You know, they can call us, and we're happy to walk them through it. There's also some training involved as part of the program. But it was a wonderful partnership. They were delighted to partner with us. They're still delighted to partner with us. We're in the eighth year of the program.
And so is it one student per summer that you fund?
It's about five. The number is between four and five. And the reason for that is that sometimes we're able to place a student that is going to be working remotely. This is all basically since the pandemic, where some of these organizations are still fully remote. And so in that case, we don't have to pay housing for that student because the student can go back to live with their family for the summer and do the internship remotely. So in those cases, we're able to fund five per year. It's a $30,000 a year investment.
And what do you and your firm get out of that?
Well, what I personally get out of it is that I feel like I'm again, just making a little bit of a difference in terms of increasing awareness about PR as a profession. I love what I do. I think that being able to use communication skills to empower people to change their community, change things for their family, change things hopefully maybe for the whole country. To me, that's a super powerful skill to have, and I would love to have more representation at the table when we're coming up with creative ideas about how do we reach different populations. Well, you need people at the table that represent those populations, and you don't always have that. So that was, for me, that's the biggest thing I get out of it, is that I'm helping to introduce public relations and communications as an opportunity, potentially a career opportunity for these students. And then for the staff at Vanguard, they love engaging with that, you know, younger generation and mentoring them and seeing where they go. As I said, we're in our eighth year. In our first cohort of students, one of the students was actually hired for a full-time position from the organization where he was placed for the internship. And, you know, seeing students take their communication skills and write blogs and just get out there, hold events, do things, putting those skills to work, we stay in touch with them. And so we get to see all of that, and it's very rewarding.
What about the nonprofits where the students do their internships? What can you tell us about those organizations and their participation in the program?
So we have had probably, I think, about 15 to 20 different organizations that have participated across these last 8 years. When we first started the program, we had five organizations and five students, and we matched them up. The GW helped us do the matching. As the program has grown, we have more organizations than we have students. And the plus side is that the students can get matched up a little bit more based on what their interests are. So if a student is really interested in the environment, we usually have one or two organizations that work on environmental issues. If they're interested in health, there's an organization or two that works on health. And so that also is just a great opportunity to be able to match the organization with the student's interests. The unfortunate part is that you end up with, this year we had about 12 that were willing to participate with us, and we only placed 4 students. So I wish we had more funding so that we could place them all. But the organizations range from, a local health clinic in Washington, D.C. that serves the Latino community, to the American Civil Liberties Union, the Girl Scouts, League of Women Voters, just lots of, terrific organizations where the students can put, learn a lot about the issues as well as communications.
What happens with the students that you're unable to place? Do any of those nonprofits have the ability to take them in, or are any of the students able to participate in an unpaid internship?
We haven't had any of the nonprofits. The nonprofits that we work with tend to be nonprofits that can't usually pay for the internships for their interns. And so that's one of the reasons why we have the program, is to be able to provide some support to the nonprofit as well as to expose the student to the opportunity. What the Cisneros Hispanic Leadership Institute at GW does is they put out a call for applications for the 4 or 5 positions that we have available. And then those are the 4, they pick from amongst the applications, the 4 or 5, and match them up against, the topics, as I mentioned. So in terms of the other interns, the other students that maybe expressed interest but didn't qualify, GW, that particular program, does try to work with them to help match them up with an internship. But it is difficult. That's why we're doing this program, because, it's hard to find paid internships unless you're going into the corporate sector.
And are the students unable to participate in an unpaid internship? As you were saying, when you went to school, you just went on an internship and it wasn't paid, right? I think you said that at the beginning.
Yeah, I got this opportunity to do an internship in public relations and communications when I was a senior in college. And my parents are, I'm first generation American. My parents immigrated to this country. And the notion that I was going to work and not get paid was just something they could not wrap their brains around, to be honest. I had worked since I was 13 years old, babysitting, retail, whatever I could find to do, and helped to support, our family. And so the thought of working for free was just not in the cards. But I was able to talk to GW at the time about turning it into they had a special program where I could gain credit for the internship if I did certain things, like I had to write a couple of papers for the credits. And once I was able to do that, then my parents were supportive. So Yes, I think that a lot of the students are still in those positions where they wouldn't be able to afford to stay in D.C. for the summer to work in D.C. For an unpaid internship. A lot of them go back home.
Do the students that participate in this program that we're discussing, do they receive credit for the internship? Academic credit?
I don't think so. I don't think so. I have that's never come up in conversation. So I don't believe that they do. I don't even know, to be honest, if GW still has that program. This was back in 1982.
Well, other universities, from what I understand, offer internships where you can receive academic credit paid, or whether the internship is paid or unpaid, you are still, if you meet the criteria that is outlined by the university, you receive academic credit. So it's not their concern, if you will, whether you are paid or unpaid,
right,
provided that you learn something, because they're a university, you receive credit. And of course, you have to work with the company or the nonprofit so that they verify, yes, that this person, the student came in or met whatever reporting criteria the university outlined so that you could receive credit. So perhaps...
Well, Elena, you've given me a great follow-up opportunity that I will definitely follow up on with GW, because that would be fantastic if they're able to take the program and also receive academic credit for it. Just to be honest, it's never been a question I ask them.
One of the stumbling blocks, if you will, that I've heard about regarding interns from companies, for and non-for-profit on both sides, is that the interns are inexperienced and unmotivated, that they don't have any skills to bring, and that they're not particularly interested. What would you say to that in relation to your experience personally and in the program that we're discussing?
Well, I will say that in our case with this program, and we actually call our program Comunicadores for the Future program, so communicators for the future. And we have had feedback from every single one of these nonprofits that have said that they absolutely admire the dedication and abilities of the students that are coming to them through this program. So they have been incredibly motivated and have done a lot of communications work for them, everything from photography at events to writing newsletter copy to even graphic design of, of a newsletter or of graphics for social media. They even say to me, sometimes the students have been pretty young, like they're not all juniors and seniors. And we have placed younger students, and the nonprofits have said to me, I can't believe how well they did, given, that they're only, a freshman or a sophomore. I'm not sure we've placed any freshmen, but definitely sophomores. And we just haven't had that experience. I don't know if it's because a lot of these students are also first generation or immigrants. And, we grow up, at least I know I did, with that work hard, like that incredibly strong work ethic. And I think that they have all really appreciated the program and the opportunity. One of the things we did, I think I mentioned to you that they write blogs. The way that happened was that I was helping my niece, this is years ago, helping my niece with her preparing to graduate from college and start looking for a job. And I said, you need a writing sample, and it can't be a term paper. like your potential future employers are not going to want to be reading a 30-page term paper. And she didn't really have anything. And so one of the things I decided to incorporate into this program is that each one of these interns would write a blog so that they would have a, 400-word writing sample that they could use when they are ready to, look for a job. And they've all done that. They've all been excited to do that. They are now doing even other, things with the program so that they have a portfolio, basically, by the time they're done with the internship.
And the nonprofits, of course, are receiving free labor, if you will, for the duration. So this is a bonus for them. I'm sort of hearing you say both sides are happy.
Absolutely. I mean, yes. And I think that the proof there is that they always want to come back and do it again the following year. So we haven't had any that have worked with us and taken one of our interns from GW that have then said, oh yeah, I don't want to do the program next summer. Every time I usually am the one that reaches out to them and, in the early in the year and to ask if they can support, a communications intern. And every time they're like, oh my gosh, of course, absolutely. They've always been so amazing. We just get such great positive feedback.
What is the selection criteria for the program?
I don't manage the selection. That's done by the Cisneros Hispanic Leadership Institute at GW. And I know that they, definitely work toward, I don't know the specifics, but I know that they need to be in good standing. They have to have strong grades, they have to have an interest in communications at least, or an interest in the topics that the organizations that participate represent. But I am not part of that selection process. It's all on them. And so I'm sorry I don't have the actual criteria for you.
One of the things that we hear a lot about, especially lately, is that well, I think this was happening before COVID, but my impression is that COVID has aggravated the situation, that because of the use of technology, the new culture, and particularly among students, is leery of in-person communications, that they have a phone phobia. I read an article the other day, I think it was in the Wall Street Journal, that there's actually a term, telephone phobia.
Wow.
What is your experience in relation to these issues and the internships? Because a communications internship, I imagine, would require that the students have communication skills, verbal, not just written, and be able to communicate perhaps by phone?
Yes. Well, I think I mentioned that one of the things that we do, in addition to providing the funding for the internship, is that we provide a mentor, but we also provide skills building classes half a day the first four Fridays of their internship. So basically, the internship is 9 weeks, so it's almost half of the internship, but it's at the front end. And those workshops are all designed to increase their communication skills. And one of the workshops is around storytelling and branding yourself. And that's at the beginning. And so right away, like first week, they are coming to our offices at Vanguard Communications and starting to practice how they would position themselves, what's their story, what's their brand, who are they, how are they going to communicate, and they literally practice it. And so I don't know if that's helping with their then ability to be open and communicative in their internship placements, but we haven't had complaints from the organizations about it. So maybe it's that combination of who they are and how they've, for a lot of them, this is the first time they've going to college, anyone's going to college in their families. So I don't know, you know, what else is behind driving it, but I do know that they are getting some of that training at the beginning, and I haven't had anyone complain to say, oh, they're not participating in the calls, or they're not participating in meetings, or they're not speaking up. I mean, some of them, you know, there's different personalities. Sometimes people are shy, but I think maybe that early workshop might be helpful.
What about electronic devices and the distractions that they bring? People who are in a meeting and are not paying attention to what's happening in the meeting because they're watching videos or scrolling through social media or texting. Do you include that in your training? Has that come up in the discussions around the internships?
It hasn't come up with us. I do know that part of what the Cisneros Hispanic Leadership Institute does, just in general, if you're part of their their institute at GW, they provide a lot of services and supports to the students that are part of that institute, including how to function in a professional environment. And so I think they're getting that kind of support right from the beginning of joining that program at GW. But in terms of our internship experience, we're certainly not obviously in the meetings with them or anything like that, but we have not seen that as an issue in the trainings. You know, when they come and spend a whole half day, that's a long time, in a meeting with us, I've never experienced that distraction situation.
Tell us a little bit more about the Cisneros Institute at the university.
So the institute was started, well, it's obviously at least 8 years old since that's when we started our program, but maybe 2 years before that, so they might be coming up on their 10th or already at their 10th. I don't know for sure, but they were started by a man named Gil Cisneros, who's from California, and he is also a first-generation college student, and when he went to GW, it was the first time he'd ever been on a college campus, and was the first in his family to go to college, so he didn't have a lot of support at home for navigating the college experience. It was a very similar situation to mine, except that I grew up in the Washington area, so I didn't have to fly across the country to go to college. But he did do that and found that it was challenging, to be on a college campus and not know how to navigate that. And there weren't any support systems at GW when he was there. And so fast forward, he won the lottery, and he decided to take part of those winnings and establish a program at GW that would be designed specifically to support first-generation Hispanic students coming onto campus, having never been on a campus and not having a lot of exposure to that in their lives. And so that was what was the kind of the backbone and beginnings of that organization. He's gone on to, he ran for Congress and was a member of Congress for a while, and I think now it's at the Department of Transportation. Not quite sure, but the program is pretty big. Like, they do a lot more than this. Is just a tiny little piece of what they partner with me on, but they have a lot of other programs that they promote. They would be a great guest for your program if you in the future possibly to learn more about them.
Sounds like a great idea. What can you tell us about the post-internship? Because I realize you're not privy to the specific projects that they're engaged in once they're at the individual nonprofits. But I imagine that as part of your support of the internship and you're working with the university to continue over 8 years, you have had some tracking of the interns, like the one that you were mentioning earlier that was hired by the firm where he or she had interned. What have you learned about the trajectory, if you will, of the students after their internships? What can you share with us about that?
Yeah, I would say, anecdotally, of course, because we haven't done like a formal, survey and tracking program of it. But we've had, the one that I mentioned, he was from that first cohort. He's a great story because not only did he get hired, but he was hired before he even finished college. So he ended up, basically working full time and going to school full time in his senior year in order to be able to take advantage of that job opportunity, and I believe is still with the ACLU. We have had two interns that have been hired by the organizations where they interned part time. So in other words, you spent the summer, you did the internship, and then wow, they really loved that person's contributions and carved out a part-time position for them during the school year. So that's happened with two. And then recently I learned that another student was hired because they had an opening for a communications, like an entry-level communications staff person at the nonprofit, and this student had already graduated and applied and got the job, which is fantastic. And certainly those examples just feed in completely to what, was my hope with the program, that we would somehow be, number one, exposing Hispanic students to PR and communications as a potential profession, and number two, of course, ideally having them seek out positions and seek out that career for themselves. But it's not a requirement. Like I've said to them, usually I meet with them right when they get selected, and I've said, you don't have to go into communications. That's not a requirement of this internship. You could decide you did the internship and that you don't like that kind of work, and that's perfectly okay. That happens. But regardless, you're going to get exposed to what it is and have a real understanding, hopefully, of what communications can do. And then even if you pursue another path, you will probably intersect with some communications professionals as part of what you're doing, right? Because you're going to have communications professionals possibly in the workplace that you're in, no matter what you end up doing. So, some of the students have gone on to pursue, careers in the topic areas of the organizations that they were with. Like one of the organizations that we work with is a civil rights organization, like legal rights organization, legal advocacy. And I know there's at least one student who suddenly was like, wow, this is really cool. I think I'm going to go to law school. So, the potential of what the exposure of one of these internships at a prominent nonprofit organization can achieve is really incredible. And that's why I feel so just passionately about the fact that we need to have more of these opportunities for all kinds of students that are not in a position to work for free.
Do the students have to be, do they have to meet a financial threshold in order to participate in the program, or is it open to anyone who applies?
It's open to anyone that is part of the Cisneros Hispanic Leadership Institute.
Does
And I
the
don't know what the criteria is to be part of them.
that was my next question.
Yeah, I don't know.
So you provide a mentor from your own agency that kind of holds their hand. You provide, I think you said, a half a day for 4 weeks at the beginning. And you're also giving them a stipend, so actual financial support. And I think you said housing.
The contribution is managed through GW, and so they pay housing as well as pay a stipend to the student.
And by housing, is it like university housing?
Yes, it is.
So then essentially, the the burden, as it were, that the students have is to make their way to the internship location and any meals.
Exactly. And as I said, sometimes, we're able to have five because there's, one that's remote. And I think one summer when we were in the midst of the pandemic and everyone was remote, I think we had more. I think we had maybe had six or seven that summer because we weren't paying for housing.
Are there other PR firms or other companies that you are aware of that are supporting internship programs such as this one?
I hear periodically, especially in my profession, the PR profession, where they will, a company, a PR firm will fund a scholarship, for example. That's really popular. I feel like I see a lot of examples come across, the trade publications that I read about the PR profession, where the organization will pay, some kind of scholarship for attending college. And I think there probably are some others around, certainly I don't know about in PR, but in other industries where they're supporting paid internships. But I don't know of them in particular.
What's next? What are you planning for the program? I think you said you're in the 8th year. Are you going to continue doing this for another until your next 30th anniversary of the company?
Well, I don't know how long I'll be able to continue it, but I will try to continue it for as long as I can. What's next is that I would love to figure out a way to get more people involved in supporting the program so that we could grow it beyond the handful of students that we're able to place. I'd love to also see the program replicated, like you said, have other PR and communications agencies do it in their communities, for example. So I think that would be the ideal, is for us to get the word out more about the program. And that's why I was thrilled to talk to you, because hopefully that helps in getting the word out, so that it's not just us. We can only do so much with the program and with the interns. But if a lot more people learned about it and wanted to do it in their communities, I think it could be pretty powerful.
What would you say to any of our listeners who are sitting back and saying, "Oh, I like that idea. I would like to support something like this financially, or I would like to offer a position to an intern or something related to what we're discussing?" What would you say would be first steps for them to think through? And perhaps first action steps.
Well, I mean, the first would be that they're welcome to call me, and I'm happy to share what our experience has been, and how it could be adapted to whatever they're looking to do. Second, I would, look at, who might they want to partner with locally to do the program. And the reason I say that is when we first brainstormed about this idea, we even thought, oh, well, maybe we'll just put out a call for applicants and, screen candidates that send us their application to be potentially placed in the program. And that definitely seemed like an onerous task. I thought, wow, we have to figure out what's going to be the criteria. What does the application look like? How are we going to distribute the application? Where are we distributing the application? Is it going to be in Washington? Is it going to be through universities? So many questions kept coming up that it pretty quickly became apparent that having a partner that has students that they're already supporting, so basically your target audience is right there, would really make it, I guess, a more feasible implementation of the program. So that's my feeling on it, that it's a lot to take on for you to identify the students that you're going to place on your own.
What was the biggest challenge, Maria, would you say?
What was the biggest challenge? Probably the biggest challenge at the beginning when we were thinking through the program was finding the right partner. You know, once we did come across the Cisneros Hispanic Leadership Institute, it was so clear that it was the ideal partner because, number one, they're at my alma mater. Number two, they're serving the community that I was hoping to expose the communications field to. So it was just everything aligned so well. But at the beginning, you know, when we were just kind of looking out there and saying, okay, you know, what organizations exist that might be supporting Hispanic students in the Washington area? Yeah, there's a lot of them to choose from, and to really figure out whether or not they'd be in a position to support the implementation was a little bit challenging. Once we found GW, it was just ideal.
Was it challenging to get students to sign up the first year?
I don't think so. What the Cisneros folks have said to me is that there's a lot of interest in the program. People, you know, were just so excited at the opportunity. And then now, of course, since it's in its eighth year, it's really easy for them to get the word out about the opportunity. And they're always asking because it's not promised that we're going to do it again. You know, every year I have to look at whether or not we're in a financially capable position to do it. And so we usually make that decision at the very beginning of the year based on performance of the previous year. And so once they find out that it's definitely happening, they tell me that the students are super excited about the opportunity.
What about in-house? Because your staff are participating as well. If you have mentors assigned to each of the students and you have 4 to 5 students, this is requiring staff time. Is this time that you're compensating them for, or are they volunteering?
It's mostly time I'm compensating them for. Obviously, if they, you know, decide that they're going to go out for dinner with their mentee or meet them for coffee after work or something, then obviously that's not on company time. But if it's during the day and they're having that quick, you know, 20-minute conversation, I'm not expecting them to volunteer for that. So, yes, they're basically being compensated for it. You know, but I think some of them are so excited about it that they kind of go out of their way to provide even more support on their own time. I'm sure of it because it just the way I hear about some of them saying, oh, my gosh, did you see that so-and-so is doing this? You know, like they keep track of them over the years. I have several of them who want to sign up every year to do it. So that hasn't been so much of a challenge, but it's also not a huge, you know, lift, right? I mean, it's these quick conversations if there's a question or a quick check-in, and it's such a short period of time over 9 weeks.
But wasn't there also a half a day sort of structured mentorship?
Yes, the half a day is in addition to the mentor assignment. And the people who deliver the workshops tend to be very strongly skilled in the area of the workshop topic. So, for example, one of the workshops is around writing and editing and doing research. And that workshop is delivered, that's a half day, and it's delivered by our editorial director and editorial manager at Vanguard. So we want to be sure that the people who are basically doing this in their day-to-day job, whatever the skill topic area is of the workshop, are the people who are delivering the workshop to the students. So it's rare that it's the mentor.
And those are also your staff that you're compensating, and you haven't had any challenges getting buy-in from them. Oh, no, students, oh, my goodness, more. Oh, yes, what a refreshing idea. What kind of reactions?
Yeah, they love it. I mean, Yeah, I think people love to share what they do for a living and how they do it and have people that are listening to that and wanting to learn from you. That's a very rewarding place to be. And these students tend to be pretty eager. So I haven't had anyone say, no, I don't want to do that, or particularly the younger staff, the ones that maybe don't have as much opportunity to do public speaking and deliver that kind of information to our clients, let's say, because they're early in their careers. You know, sometimes we double them up. So they've got the real experienced expert, the editorial director, as I said, and then maybe somebody who's only been at the company for 1 or 2 years that can be part of that workshop that morning supporting, and they really appreciate that opportunity as well.
What would you say to the students who, or the perhaps more likely among our listeners, parents of students who are thinking, what would this be a fit for me, or would this be a fit for my son or my daughter? Who do you think is the ideal candidate? Is there a profile that comes to mind?
So our program obviously focuses on communications and PR. So I think that having an interest and a desire to write is critical, because a lot of the communication vehicles, even if it's, you know, social media, and we are putting messages out in these short, you know, snippets for social media, you have to do it creatively, and it has to be grammatically correct and all of those things. So I think a student who has a real interest in writing, has maybe is creative, like somebody who likes to, you know, do artwork or painting or anything like that, that really kind of uses that creative muscle in them, I think they would make a good candidate. Someone who isn't super, super shy, like is open and willing to talk to people and engage with people one-on-one is important as well. So, those things, I think, would be ideal skills for them to have.
And in terms of the organizations that have participated, so the nonprofits, I have a list here that I received from your assistant. You have a, I'm not sure how you pronounce it,
Bazelon.
Bazelon, thank you. Bazelon Center for Mental Health Law. You've mm-hmm. got the Girl Scouts Nation's Capital. Mm-hmm. Goodwill, do you have a list? Should I let you tell us?
Yeah, Goodwill is one. We have La Clínica del Pueblo, which is a community-based clinic that I mentioned earlier in our conversation. They've participated almost every year. The Latin American Youth Center, the League of Women Voters, the Rails to Trails Conservancy, which is an environmental organization, Special Olympics, the Brady Campaign, the ACLU. There's a new organization that came on board just last year for the first time called Shatterproof, which is also a mental health organization that's really promoting positive mental health and trying to reduce drug and alcohol addiction in the country. So that was a recent ad last year. And as I said, we only place 4 or 5 per year, so they don't all have interns right now this summer.
You also have, scrolling through the list, Voto Latino, which I'm assuming is targeting voter registration issues.
Yes, for the Latino community. They don't have an intern, they're not participating this year, but they've had interns in the past.
Oxfam.
Mm-hmm.
Media Matters. Reproductive Freedom for All. the Latin American Youth Center. So there are a number of possibilities for aspiring interns. And also, I suppose the university is the one that reaches out to the nonprofits, right? Is that their.
It's actually mostly us, because, my firm, and now we're 38 years old. Over those 38 years, we've worked with a lot of nonprofit organizations in the Washington area that are local and national. So a lot of them have come on to the program via our contacts and relationships, but a handful of those that you mentioned have come directly through Cisneros, which is one of the things I also love, is that they now, when they're out and about and talking to folks, they're able to, say, hey, like for example, this year there's one called the Immigrant Wellbeing Collaborative, and that's a new organization, and that came through Cisneros directly, where they said, hey, we have this opportunity with this organization. They were actually, with that one, which is really exciting, they received a tiny grant from another philanthropic funder to support that particular placement. And they called me to say, what do you think about making them part of Comunicadores, even though they're not part of your grant specifically? And I said, well, this is exactly what I'm hoping would happen, that we'd have more of this. So that student is part of that our cohort, even though they're being funded through another source.
Excellent.
Yeah, so little by little.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Maria, thank you for joining us from Arlington, Virginia.
Thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed the conversation.
And to our audience, you have been listening to Maria Rodriguez, who is owner of Vanguard Communications, who discussed paid internships. To promote a guest for the show, you can email me directly at editor@hispanicmpr.com. That's editor@hispanicmpr.com.